from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and most of today. But thanks to anyone who is praying for me. I know at least these two were. But God did a miracle, and it is gone. Yay. So I actually went to the optometrist yesterday because I was afraid to put my contacts in because I didn't want to infect them and stuff. And he gave me a new pair of contacts, and he said, "Donna, you're good to go." He goes, "It's almost gone. It'll be gone by tomorrow." I'm like, "Yes, yay." So he actually gave me a new pair of contacts so I can see y'all. And I can even read my notes. So let's begin with the word of prayer, okay? Father, I thank you so much for this church, this body of believers, Lord, who I know they're taught the word well because I know their pastor. I knew Jeanette well, and she's home with you now, and I'm just so grateful to know she's rejoicing up there and dancing with Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for each and every woman that's in this room right now that her heart would just be prepared to hear what your spirit has to say to her tonight, Lord. Some of us may be older in the Lord, and this isn't news, but Lord, your word is new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. Your word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so every time we read it, Lord, you speak to us in a new and a fresh way. And I pray that that would be true with these ladies tonight. Lord, some of them may be newer believers, and I pray, Jesus, that the seed of your word would go deep into their hearts. And I pray that their hearts would be that good soil, that would the root would go deep and the sprout would spring up and bring forth much fruit in their life. And so, Lord, we don't want to be those that are hearers of the word only, but, Lord, we want to be doers of the word. And so, Lord, help us to apply your word that I think are funny and want to add to or whatever, Lord, let me remember that it's not about anybody looking at me, but it's all about pointing them to you. You are our audience of one. You are the one that we want to receive all the glory, Lord. You are worthy of our honor and our praise, and we worship you. We ask you to bind the enemy far from us right now. We know that whenever we worship you in spirit and in truth, the enemy wants to rob that because he used to be a worship leader, and he likes the accolades. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bind him far from this place. Have your Bibles with you, which I hope you do. But if you don't and you have your phone app, a little bit more of, I would say, a topical study. Most of the scriptures you're going to find are going to be in Ephesians. So just to let you know, the title of my message is Daughter of the King of Kings. We are all daughters of the King of Kings if we've been born again. And my subtitle is The Price, the Purpose, the Privilege, and the Protocol of a Princess. Okay? Okay, and the tiebreaker, that's actually my daughter was having contractions tonight, so it could be tonight, okay, but anyhow, it is a girl, so the girls are pulling ahead, yay. Pray that the girls pull even further ahead, because my youngest son's wife is pregnant, but she has four boys, so we need a girl there to pull ahead, so if you guys will pray for that one for me, I'd greatly appreciate it. But a couple of weeks ago, two of our granddaughters spent the weekend with us while their mommy and daddy, as a matter of fact, my daughter Janelle, that might be in labor right now, just a little bit sassy to Papa. And Papa looked at her and he says, "Well, who do you think you are?" And Macy Page looked up at him and she goes, "I'm Macy Page, Papa." Like, well, duh, did you forget? How could you forget? Well, my prayer, ladies, is that insulting, because it means that you kind of crossed a boundary line that you didn't even know was there, or maybe it means that you have taken a position of authority or privilege that what you weren't really entitled to. So somebody says, "Well, who do you think you are?" And your natural response might be, "Well, excuse me," you know. But I hope that before our study is over today, that you have the same response and confidence that my Macy Page has, and you say, "Well, I know exactly who I am. I'm the daughter of a king." So, ladies, The first thing I want you to remember is that if you have been born again and you have called upon the name of Jesus to be saved, whether you know it or not, ladies, you are a princess. And that's not my opinion, because I'm not up here to give you my opinion. I'm up here to give you the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 18 tells us that God will be a father to us, and we shall be daughters to him. See, he's the King of Kings. It tells us that in various places in the Scripture. But just to name a few, there's 1 Timothy 6:15, Revelation 17:14, and Revelation 19:16. So the daughter of a king deserves the title princess, right? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are called a chosen possession. There is, however, ladies, a price to become a princess. So now, if you didn't open it already, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1. And what I'd like to do, because this is more of a topical study, but more important than anything is the Word of God. So if you would stand while I read all of Ephesians 1 out loud, and we'll just honor God's Word by standing, okay? It says, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you ladies to notice every time it says, in Christ Jesus, in him, or in whom, okay? Count them if you can. Grace to you and praise and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he was before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of his glory, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Verse 15, for this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. Amen? Oh, there's still more to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen? God bless you guys. Can sit down. How many did you count? Anybody count? Okay, I counted. I got at least 13 times that it says either, hopefully to you, that if you're not in Christ, then none of this applies to you. But our Lord desires that we all be in. All should come to repentance, as I told you before in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And I want you to know that it is over his dead body that anyone should perish. Have you had anybody ever say to you, well, I just can't believe in a God that would send someone to hell? Have you anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand. Yeah, I've heard that too. And you know what I say to them? God doesn't send anyone to hell. It is over his dead body. You literally have to walk over the dead body of Jesus to get there. He paid the price in full on the cross. That's how we become princesses, because he paid it all. We paid nothing. The price to us was free. And yet, come a child of the King of Kings to become a princess in the royal family cost us zilch, zip, zero, nothing. Immediately, we are ushered from darkness into light. Amen? Ladies, I want you to understand that our Heavenly Father moved heaven to earth. We just sang about that, in a sense, that you and I might be saved. He doesn't just save us by the skin of our teeth. He saves us that we might have an abundant life here as princesses. When Jesus died on the cross more than 2,000 years ago, ladies, he took your sins and my sins to the cross with him. Every single sin that has ever been committed that will send you to hell, and that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which I absolutely believe is rejecting the free gift of Jesus Christ, the free gift of God that's offered to us on the cross. And if you have a problem with that, I want you to consider John 16, verse 8, and Matthew 12, verse 32, and meditate on it and pray about it. And that's how I came to my conclusion. But we know that Romans 6, 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, you and I become princesses of the King of Kings. It's a gift to us, but the cost was the great own son's blood. God himself paid the price in full by going to the cross. I was telling Trish earlier that this morning I went to get my makeup done so I'd look cute for you guys. I hope I look good enough. I was going to come down here early. And this is an aside, sorry, but I was going to come down early and go to Victoria Gardens. So I tried to call and make an appointment at the Mac store, and I couldn't get through. So then I finally went, forget it. So I tried to make an appointment at the Ulta store that has a Mac counter in it but right by my house. They didn't have any availabilities, and Mac doesn't do it anymore there. I'm like, great. So I thought, well, there's a Macy's up here. I'll call Macy's. So now I can do it. So I'm like, cool, I'll be right there. So I hopped in my car, went over, no makeup on, you know, glasses, the whole bit. I'm on my way over. I'm kind of going over my study, thinking about it, and the Lord just really impressed on my heart. You know, every time you get your makeup done, the first thing they ask you is, well, are you doing something special tonight? Do not be afraid, Donna, to share the gospel with this woman. I heard it. You know, I mean, it's like not an audible voice, but I knew it in my heart. So I go in, ladies, first thing she said, so what are you doing tonight? And I said, well, I'm going down to Upland. I'm going to be teaching a group of women a Bible study on the book of Ephesians. She goes, oh, that's nice. And so she goes over and she starts putting on my makeup and I'm just praying, you know, gave her my little sub points. She goes, that sounds really interesting. Tell me about it. So I practiced on her. I told my whole study to her, basically, in a nutshell. Well, at the end, she goes, well, that was really interesting. She goes, I read my Bible, too. And I said, well, good. I said, where do you fellowship? She goes, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. What do you think of that? And so anyhow, ladies, all that to say, we ended up having a delightful conversation. I shared with her the truth that I didn't believe, that we believed in the same Jesus, that I believed that Jesus was. And I even gave her one she had never seen before, which you might want to write this one down. It's Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where it says that God purchased the crystal. But all that to say, you know, I got to share with her, you know what? We do not work for our salvation. But ladies, we definitely are called to do good works, okay? Our position in the royal family was secured when we put our trust work. And once we've been born into his family, once you're born, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, which I'm sure many of you know by heart, it says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in me, or in you, will be faithful to complete it at the day of Christ Jesus. And also Ephesians 2, which is in the same book here, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift. We are not saved by our works, but the Bible makes it just as clear that we are saved for good works. And if any of you need clarification of that, I'll hang out after as long as you need. But I can't help but think of England's royal family. Once you're a part of the royal family, it's expected, if not required, that a prince or a princess or anyone that has a royal title, really, will be more than a little involved in philanthropic works of every kind. And you most likely are very aware of the controversy of a couple of royals who decided that they didn't want to be working royals, that they wanted to, quote, step back from their royal duties and live a more normal life, right? Well, the royal family has been very gracious, as you would expect, saying that Harry, Meghan, Archie, and Lilibeth will always be much loved members of the royal family. But most of the world, and especially the country of England, realize that the favor of the royal family and the whole country really rests upon Prince William and Princess Catherine for their loyalty to the crown and their work and their support for so many charities. Ladies, in the same way, you and I are going to see that even though we'll always be much loved members of our God's royal family, as it says in Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 12, it lets us know that we have a purpose to fulfill and a protocol to follow. And he has equipped us to accomplish just that. So as daughters of the King, ladies, you were born for a purpose, and that's our second point. The first was, in case you missed it, the price of a princess. This one is the purpose of a princess. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 and 12, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Ladies, we are his poema, his masterpiece. The word poema speaks of a work of art in process. We are his handiwork. He is not done with us yet. He still has his hands on us that he has planned for us to be. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, it says this, but now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And all of us are the work of you into his family with a specific purpose in mind. Now, I don't know what your purpose is. Sometimes I don't even know each moment what my purpose is. But we each have a calling that God established before the foundations of the earth. And he equipped us to do that specific calling, those good works, those purposes that he has planned for us. For example, sometimes we love the good works that God's called us to do. Like, I love it when I get to go and teach a group of women like yourself and meet new sisters in the Lord and just to know what's going on in your life and in your fellowship. And that's just a joy to me. And I also love it. I use my skills as an interpreter to communicate between the hearing world and the deaf world and make that bridge for them. But then there's other times when we have callings and purposes that are more an act of obedience. It's not quite so much fun. For example, as much as a blessing as children are, sometimes training them up in the way that they should go, as it tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, can be downright exhausting. And I know this for a fact, have 5 of my own, 16 grandkids already arrived, okay? It's a lot. But we love it, but sometimes it's just a matter of discipline, dealing with dirty diapers and temper tantrums and sibling rivalries, and then there's adolescence and the whole teenage rebellion. That's all rough work. And not to mention the struggle of navigating our own relationship with our adult children and their spouses, and then our adult children and their siblings, and kind of mediating between them sometimes. And I probably have it easier than most because my, excuse me, got stuck there. I need water. My kids all love Jesus and they all love one another, but there's still, you know, that sibling thing that happens. But ladies, can I remind you that there is no greater calling, no better work than to be consistent in training up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. As moms, we have a blessed opportunity to evangelize the next generation without even leaving the comfort of our own home. I mean, that's pretty great, huh? So when you feel like, I don't have a ministry, you know, I'm here with the kids all the time, what better ministry is there than to raise up those kids to know Jesus? It tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that if we don't grow weary in well-doing at just the right time, we will reap a harvest. And ladies, I got to tell you, I'm on the other side of raising 5 children, right? But I remember thinking at one time, I'm never going to get a good night's sleep again. I'm going to be tired for the rest of my life. But God is so faithful. And I get to sleep sometimes now. I didn't do everything perfectly. As a matter of fact, ladies, I often failed miserably. But two of my favorite words in the Bible are, but God. It always comes after something that seems impossible or looks absolutely out of control. And that's how I feel about what the Lord did with me and my children, because God lifted me up when I was down and discouraged. He strengthened me when I was weak, but best of all, he covered a multitude of sins and failures on my part, and love covers that multitude of sin. And my kids don't even seem to remember those things, which is great. I have an amazing memory. But anyhow, look, we won't talk about that because we have a perfect marriage, did I say that? He said, though, you know, I failed. I'm just going to be as honest as can be. There were days where I called my husband crying and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. It's so hard. And he would say these wonderful words to me, babe, there's one perfect parent and he has rebellious kids. What an encouragement that always was to me. Today, by the grace of God, all 5 of my children love Jesus, and all 5 of their spouses love them, and all 16 of our grandchildren love me and their papa, and I'm hoping that those 2 new ones are going to love us just as much, right? And if you haven't been so blessed as I am, if your children aren't grown yet, or if they are grown but they're not believers in Jesus Christ yet, let me encourage you that as long as there's breath, there's hope. Keep age 93. After almost 50 years of me praying for him, 45 years of me praying for him, he came to Jesus, and I got to see him walk with the Lord for 5 years. And what a precious thing it was to go and pick him up for church and see them open the doors. And my dad would have his walker and he'd come scooting down, and then he'd see me and he'd go, oh, and he'd get a little faster. And it was just so cute. There is nothing better, except for maybe when your kids accept the Lord, right? But rather than Paul contradicting himself in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to see how he was just expounding on what he just said. You see, it says there in Philippians chapter 3, or is it 3 or 2? Philippians, to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Rather than, like I said, contradicting himself, Paul is making it clear that God has already put in us. He has already saved us. And our position in the royal family is secure. But now, like a miner digging for diamonds, you and I must work out what God has already put inside of us. He established before the foundations of the earth the good works for us to show. And we got to go looking for them, digging in God's word, digging in our hearts. What would you have me do? Ladies are possessed, and you need not be under the circumstances. Every time I hear someone say, you know, when I'll say, how you doing? Well, I'm doing great under the circumstances. And climb up into the lap of Jesus, you know? Get in the heavenlies. Know, and he'll turn you around and give you glimpses of what's going on. Because, you know, it's like they say, you know, from 10,000 feet, you have a much better vantage point. Can you imagine from the heavenly realm? We can see everything from God's perspective, and we know that he's working all things together for good because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. Paul goes on to say that the Holy Spirit of God is at work in us to give us the willingness and the power to live that holy and blameless life. God has gifted each and every one of us differently to fulfill the specific call that he has placed on our lives. And each one of us has been given at least one spiritual gift so that we can accomplish all that God has prepared for us to do. And I'm realizing I'm running out of time really fast. So I'm just going to give you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, where Paul gives us insight into the reason why God's purpose, or what God's purpose is in giving us his gift. He says that the gifts are to equip the saints to build up his church, the body of Christ. He states in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, that we should continue in this endeavor until perfect man to the measure of the fullness of Christ. We are given chapter 2, verse 18. Let me read it to you. It says, for through him we both have access. In one spirit we have Father, so we are no longer strangers and aliens. Ladies, we have access. That's the first. It basically tells us that we were lost, we were dead in our sins, and we were without promise, we were without hope, and we were without God. Well, just like I told you, so near we can climb up into our Father's lap and come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. She was afraid that the king wasn't going to reach out his royal scepter to her and welcomed. And we can come boldly into his throne, and he will always welcome us. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil in the temple, as we sang again, was rent from top to bottom. We have access. But as we have access, we also have the Father's ear. He's listening for us. It kind of reminds me of in My Fair Lady, where, what was his name? My Fair Lady in... What was his name? Henry. Was it Henry? Yeah. And he says, I'm waiting, I'm wanting, I'm willing. That's how our Lord is. He's waiting. He wants to hear from us. He's willing to answer our prayers. Guess what? Prayer is a privilege that is probably the most neglected of all. We have been given the privilege of prayer as one of the two offensive weapons in our spiritual arsenal, along with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, because it says in Ephesians, all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Ladies, we're constantly involved in spiritual battle, and God has given us prayer that we might be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are to be praying at all times about everything. There's absolutely nothing that's off limits. Ladies, if you have a sty in your eye, you can pray about that. I remember when I was a young believer, and I was raised in a Catholic church, and you prayed for the pygmies in Africa, and you prayed for the pagan babies, but you did not pray for yourself. You know, that was just really self-centered. And I remember I lost my purse. And so my friend said, let's pray. And I'm like, you can pray for that? She's like, yeah. And so we prayed. And the The post office called me. Somebody found my purse and put it in the mailbox. And I got my purse back with everything in it. Yourself like that. And I'm like, but I got my purse back and I didn't lose my identity. God wants to hear from us, ladies. Nothing is off limits. Do you ever tell your kids, nope, that's off limits. I don't want to talk to you about that. No, we welcome our kids in. Nothing is off limits with our children. And ladies, I want you to know that God always, always answers prayer. We know that sometimes he says, what we all love to hear, yes, absolutely not. You're not going to do that. And then other times, the one that we hate the most is not our butler in heaven. We don't order him around. He is our Father in heaven. And Father, our Father is a good, good Father. And if you're old like me, you know that Father knows best, right? Whether God answers our prayers with a resounding yes or an emphatic no, or he quietly whispers, wait, ladies, know that he always loves it, that you came. Not only do we have access, but we also were to dominate, or to have dominion, and to have authority over every creature on the earth. Unfortunately, we know that we forfeited those rights when our father, Adam, way back then, Adam and Eve, bit of the apple, and they disobeyed God, and so they forfeited the rights. But ladies, I love training. And one day, and I believe that day is soon, we will fulfill our destiny. In Revelation chapter 20, we are told that we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And if that's not enough, the last chapter of Revelation says, then we will see his face, and his name will be written on our foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need light of a lamp forever and ever. Revelation 22, verses 4 and 5. But until then, ladies, we've been given authority right here and right now, because sin no longer has dominion over us. Jesus conquered sin on the cross. It has been said that we have been saved from the penalty of sin on the cross. That's called justification. We are being saved daily from the power of sin. That's called sanctification. And we will be saved from the presence of sin when we finally arrived in heaven. And that's called glorification. Ladies, we've been given authority over sin. And the more we resist sin, the more we practice reigning with Christ. Unfortunately, our sin nature has the wrong concept of what it means to reign. Our sin nature loves to be the boss of you, right? And you love to be the boss of me. Because our sin nature just loves to be in charge at his right hand and his left hand. And guess what? As soon as the other disciples heard what was going on, he said to her, first of all, woman, you do not know what you're asking. But then he turned to his disciples. He called them together and he says, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people and officials and flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, contrary to our sin nature. That's why we have to practice nature. It's like the old saying, you know, whichever dog you feed is the one that's going to outlive the other, right? So your old nature, you got to starve it by saying no. The more you say no, the weaker the flesh gets than saying yes to the Lord. And the only way you can say yes to what God wants in your life is by being in the Word of God and knowing what the Word of God says and knowing what God wants of you. So yay to all of you for being in women's study and being at this summer study all summer long. But our Heavenly Father is not like any other king. You see, he's the humble servant king. He laid down his life for many, and we must take on the family resemblance. And that's my fourth point, the protocol of the princess. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn over really quickly to chapter 4, and we're just going to look at verse 1 there. And it says in verse 1, I therefore beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ladies, the beginning of this chapter reminds us that as daughters of the King, we are to represent our Father well. Paul begs us to walk worthy of a calling. Before you check out because you go, oh, that's a crushing burden, and I can't live up to the standard of perfection that our good Father has set, I want you to breathe a big sigh of relief because God has given us His Holy Spirit to enable us. Plus, ladies, we have been given grace upon grace that every time we fall short, which we will, He will show up and He will be strong on our behalf. When I am weak, He is strong. The fact that we're born again into the family of God should give us even more comfort, because in 2 Peter 1:4, it tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature. In other words, ladies, you and I have the DNA necessary to represent. Came up and taught at our church, and I'll never forget him saying that. And he said, I never felt the necessity to go out and buy any one of them a wig, because I knew that they had the DNA to grow a good head of hair. And if any of you have ever seen John Miller, you know that they all grew up to have great hair, okay? But in the same way, when we first accept the Lord, a lot of times we think, oh, we should be super Christian, you know, overnight. But the truth of the matter is, you plant, it takes time for the fruit on that tree to grow. It takes time for the roots to go down, for the trunk to grow, for the fruit to grow out. And it's the same way spiritually speaking. Ladies, we have the spiritual DNA to walk worthy on the path that God has set for us. The word worthy in the Greek is axios. And our conduct should be equal. They should match. In other words, our walk and our talk should be the same. Remember that the cost to be a child of God was paid for on the cross. But to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means to be a disciplined one. Discipleship requires. When Meghan Markle married Prince Harry, she immediately became a part of the royal family. As we've already stated, the royal family said that her and Harry would always be much loved members of the royal family. But nevertheless, it appeared that Meghan Markle didn't count the cost. She wants to just say, I'm out. I don't know if it was Meghan, if Meghan just didn't want to have to wear the clothes that are deemed appropriate for a princess. Or I don't know if she didn't like being told that she couldn't wear brightly colored lipstick or brightly colored fingernail polish because that's part of royal protocol. I don't know if she just really didn't want to wear pantyhose because above her knee at all, she has to have on pantyhose. I don't know, she just really loved those messy buns she likes to wear. But eating, and part of the royal protocol is that when the senior royal, which at the time when she was still in England, was play, we're out, you know? I'm sorry, Meghan, but that's the cost of being a working royal. And ladies, the protocol for the princess of the King of Kings may seem like it's really rough if you're outside of the royal family. But once you become a child of the living God, it becomes more and more your delight to follow His royal protocol. My sister just accepted the Lord 2 years ago now, August. So she's 78 years old now. It's like a sailor. And the first thing that went for 2 years, you know? And she'll be like, I can't believe I said that. I never say that anymore. But you know what? She knows it. Nobody has to tell her that. You know, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit and her desire to be pleasing to the Lord. So number one, I'm going to go real fast on this. It's humble. If you ever thought of anybody that didn't need to be humble, of course it would be Jesus, right? And yet he's our humble king. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 is the well-known portion of his divine nature. His divine privilege and taking on human body, okay? I'm not going to read all this because I don't have any time left. But, okay, so first of all, you should be humble, just like Jesus. And if he can be humble, we can be humble, okay? Have a lot to say, but I want to get you out of here. And the next thing is gentle. He is the ultimate gentleman. Gentleness and meekness are almost synonymous in the Bible. Meekness is strength under control, while gentleness is, rather than asserting superiority over another person, you seek to help that person, even if you are the one who's been wronged. The perfect picture of his gentleness is found in John 8, where the Pharisees brought the woman caught in the act of adultery and threw her down at the feet of Jesus. Rather than condemning her, remember that as Jesus bent down and wrote in the dirt that they started to leave, one at a time, and you know how it's said that it was probably Jesus writing their name and then the number of their sin next to it. You know, they're like, whoops, I'm out of here. I'll drop my stone. But Jesus then turned to her after every one of them was gone, and then the one, the only one who could have condemned her, looked at her and said, "Neither share it all, because I want to share with you that the number one thing that will reflect Jesus in your life is being a forgiver." It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you." There's nothing harder to do. It's practically impossible apart from Jesus Christ to forgive. But ladies, with the power of Jesus, you never look more like Jesus than when you forgive someone who has done a great offense. The world looks on and wants to be like. Let it be said that our Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these women. And Lord, I'm sorry, I went a little long. And I pray that you would just bless them and multiply their time back to them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
All right, ladies. Wow. I just want to say, as princes, daughters of the king and a prince, I pray that our life reflects who we love. We should be so beautifully, just like a magnet just draws people to us, and people want to know what we have. So let's let our position in Christ become our practice, all right? Yes. God bless you, ladies. Let's bless the food, and then I'll have the word for just reminding us of who we are in you, Father. I pray, Father, that we would never, ever take that blessing, that gift for granted ever again, Father. I pray that we will walk worthy to the call that you've called us to, Father. Help us to draw other little princesses along for mercies for her back up the hill, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless our food. Let it nourish our body. Let our fellowship just be sweet unto you. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for our precious worship here, team, Father. So God bless them as well, and your precious